You're listening to Social Justice Radio on CFXU The Fox, 93.3 FM. And you just heard an interview with Dr. Sutapa Chattopadhyay as part of a new series of Social Justice Radio called Migration Podcast that will be broadcast the last Thursday of every month. These episodes will also be found on our website, socialjusticeradio.onelouder.ca. For the remainder of our show today, as we approach Halloween, Ro Paradela, a student at St. Francis Xavier University from Mexico and a contributor of Social Justice Radio, has offered to speak about the Day of the Dead and how its practice and commemoration is connected to social justice. Let's listen.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ro. I use they, them pronouns. And I wanted to talk to you about Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead is going to be celebrated on the 1st and 2nd of November. It is a traditional Mexican festivity. And well, growing up in Mexico City, I have lived with the celebration the entirety of my life. It is very close to my heart. And I think it is very significant in terms of social justice as well. So let's talk about it. Let's discuss. My experience of Day of the Dead is one of joy, one of celebration, but also one of grief, and one of great respect. And when talking about Day of the Dead, we have to remember that it is a huge, huge cultural phenomenon in Mexico. So many different people will have different relationships to it, and that is because we all have different relationships to death, as we will be discussing today. So it's important to take this into consideration when you hear my story, Day of the Dead, and consider that other people might have different experiences, and these are worth listening, and they are very rich as well. It's in this richness that we find what happens in Day of the Dead. So as I said, Day of the Dead is split into 2 days. 1st of November, we have Dia de los Angelitos, which is the day for deceased children, those kids who left us way too early. And then during the 2nd of November, we have Dia de Muertos, or Day of the Dead for the rest of the adult population. This celebration is pre-Hispanic in origin. It formed part of the rituals around death in multiple indigenous pre-Hispanic cultures. There is a whole process from a person dying to a person getting to the afterlife. And so multiple rituals would be performed in order to aid the deceased in their journey to the afterlife, whichever these would be for their particular cultural context. But this was largely shared by Mesoamerican cultures. When colonialism started to happen in Mesoamerica, you know, when the Spanish came, their colonial project, they decided that they needed to convert indigenous peoples into Catholicism. And so they destroyed temples and they built churches in their places. They baptized them. They educated them in biblical texts. They introduced saints and virgins, and they assigned different towns and different villages their own saints and their own virgins. They established their own Catholic festivities. They brought things like Easter and Christmas. And as part of their project of conversion, they had to repurpose these rituals around death. The Spanish were not strangers to these kinds of celebration. In the end, they came here with La Fiesta de Todos los Santos, or what we might know now as Halloween, coming from the Celtic legacies, right? And so they saw certain similarities between Halloween and Day of the Dead, and they started to merge them in a way that they would be able to introduce Catholic beliefs into the already existing celebrations around death and the rituals that were made for the deceased. And these all constituted a larger project of cultural genocide, not too different from what happened here in Canada with residential schools, where Indigenous people would be introduced into a system where they had to learn how to be assimilated into whiteness. And then after being assimilated, they would be white. And so we had mestizaje and the different caste systems and all those things. And so the celebration of Day of the Dead, originally pre-Hispanic, suffered. That was the first impact from globalization that it suffered. And it has continued to do that over time, particularly as different migrational waves have hit the Mexican population. We have gotten compliments from different cultures. And then most recently, with the rise of American imperialism, Halloween and Day of the Dead have been greatly, greatly merged in many different ways. My experience of Day of the Dead is one such experience of half of it is traditionally Mexican and then half of it is Halloween. So I will tell you a little bit more about like certain traditions that we have in Day of the Dead so that you get an idea of how this looks like. During Day of the Dead, we might eat pan de muerto. We might pedir calaverita or ask for treats. This is very much trick-or-treating, but Mexicanized. Children will go out in the street. They will not be in costume, but they will go out in the street carrying chilacayote in certain towns. This is like a very big pumpkin, and so essentially they carry a jack-o'-lantern and they ask for traditional goodies that they would get from a piñata. These are fruit, like sugarcane, like plums, like tangerines, oranges, etc. We will also write calaveritas literarias, which is a short poem making fun of a hypothetical death of someone. It is a joyful encounter with death. And then we, of course, mount our Day of the Dead altars, which is like the main event, right? And, you know, this altar is the most important thing because it is a space of reflection. It is a space of worship. It is a space of grief, of closure, of joy, of nostalgia, of connection. It is a space where we connect spiritually with the deceased, where we pray, where we ask for miracles from God, where we ask for safeguarding from our deceased and the spirits beyond, where we help our deceased get into what we now, in a Catholic context, would call heaven, but any afterlife will do. And it is celebratory. It is very much celebratory. It is about celebrating the life of someone, bringing them back in our memory, bringing them back in our prayer, and commemorating all of the joys that they brought to the world and the fact that they were alive at some point, and celebrating that their death was a part of their wonderful life. It is a very intimate encounter with death. It is very personal. Mounting altars for Day of the Dead is generally a very familiar experience. It is normally mounted in people's homes, but sometimes communities will organize to mount altars, as we will discuss a little bit more in a second. The most important thing you need to know about the dead altars, however, is that these are sacred spaces of connection. You know, many things happen in these altars. We have many different kinds. Traditionally, people will mount their altars in cemeteries, on the floor of cemeteries, right by gravestones or crypts. And they will put flowers, they will put candles, they will have their offerings there. Generally, these are gifts that they are things that our deceased might have enjoyed during life, right? So my grandpa, he used to watch football all the afternoons, and he would have a Coke in a glass container. He would have a can of Pringles, and he would have some cigarettes. And so whenever I mount an altar for my grandpa, I give him a glass Coke, a can of Pringles, and I give him his cigarettes so that he can enjoy them. But we generally add many things. Mexico is in a situation of very great poverty. The majority of the population is below the poverty line. And so from great times of scarcity, communities and families tend to come together and bring all of the richness, all of the abundance, everything they have, and offer to the dead as a sign of love and respect for their lives. So you will see feasts full of fruit and drinks and bread and tamales. You will have all sorts of different flowers and things, little gifts that they will give them. And so the altars are really full of things. So people will go to the cemetery and they will put all of that on the floor. They will put that in their house and they will pray. Mexico is a traditionally, I mean, it's a predominantly Catholic country. And so they will pray, they will go to mass, they will ask for their deceased to be okay, to take care of them. It is a very emotional experience to go to a cemetery in a day like this. People will take their chairs and they will be taking care of the dead. They will be connecting with other folks. People will be selling food. People will be selling drinks. And they will come together and they will grieve together as a community. And this is a very important thing, because then not only is a Day of the Dead altar a space for a spiritual connection, but it is also a space for communal healing. Mexico is in a situation of very grave violence. 11 women are killed every single day exclusively for being women. We have the highest rate of environmental activists, mostly indigenous people, murdered, according to recent studies. So many people are kidnapped and disappeared every single day. Sometimes individuals, sometimes masses. And most of these cases are not solved. Impunity is everywhere, in every case. And of course, journalists who are trying to investigate these issues, to shed a light on these issues, are murdered, they're disappeared, they suffer violence. And so, Day of the Dead is every day for Mexican people. Every day we think about death, every day we commemorate death, every day we think about our potential death, the potential death of our friends. We think about celebrating life, living very much in the present, using every excuse to party, because we don't know when it might come to us, but it will come to us. This way, Day of the Dead is what we call a memento mori, right? A reminder that we will all die at some point, and that death is something that joins us all as people. This is something that has served as political protest in numerous ways. Historically, one of the main symbols of Day of the Dead is the calavera, the skeleton. This is actually such a big part of Mexican culture that if you Google Mexican culture into Google Images, you will find skulls in about 9 out of 10 pictures. I invite you to try this out. If you compare this to looking for Ecuadorian culture, for Venezuelan culture, for Colombian culture, you'll find very similar things. You will find colorful, traditional clothing. You will find musical instruments. You will find food. But what will distinguish Mexican culture from all other Latin American cultures is the presence of the skull. And this is because the skull has been a long part of our cultural symbols. During the Mexican Revolution, and everything that built up to it since the late 1800s, skulls have been used as a way of ridiculing the powerful and the rich, as a way of showing their coldness, their lack of humanity occasionally, and their human rights abuses. Mexico used to live in a very severe situation of almost what was called modern slavery. Labor camps where people of color, where indigenous people were working in very precarious conditions for white people, for affluent landowners, who would have them living in their workplace, who would have schools for their children there, so they would never leave, never stop working. And so in these contexts, journalists and political critics used to use the skull to criticize the rich, to paint skeletons and pretty clothes and nice jewelry to show that they were nothing but cold, hard bones in cute clothes, and to remind them that they would die at some point, and that all of their richness would be worthless after they died. This evolved into having constant political caricature and political criticism in newspapers, which were not only for reporting, but they were also for political opinion. You would have calaveritas, the little short poems, making fun of their death, making fun of their potential death, ridiculing the way that they lived their life and how these would lead to a ridiculous death. That would be equalizing, that would bring them back to with the people, that would show them that they are nothing without their riches and their power. And in these contexts, it is that we get the biggest, most significant symbol of Day of the Dead, which is La Catrina. La Catrina is a very elegant skeleton. You have probably seen her in at least one kind of Mexican paraphernalia. This is a skeleton wearing typically a Victorian dress, but we have many, many versions, many, many artistical representations. And she's wearing a big floral hat, big Victorian floral hat. She was created by Jose Guadalupe Posada, Mexican artist who was commonly featured in Mexican journals and papers. And he created La Catrina as a memento mori, as a symbol of political protest, and all these kinds of things. And so, in creating this symbol and this image, and including it in all of our in all of our Day of the Dead altars, we are invoking the significance of this symbol. We are talking about how we're all gonna die. Death is equalizing that way, but then also death is unjust, and we must reflect about that as well. Death doesn't get to everyone the same. Some people die too early. Some people die from natural causes, but some people die from perfectly avoidable injustices. And so, coming together as a community to talk about our stories of death, to talk about how our relatives have died, to talk about how our loved ones have died, is an exercise of community organization and communication and communal healing. When we mount altars for all of our dead journalists, for all of our dead activists, for all of the dead women that were taken too soon, that were taken unjustly, we are refusing to forget their names. We're refusing to forget their stories. We're refusing to forget the joy that they lived in their lives and how this was unfairly taken by a death that should not have happened, by a death that is supposed to be taken as normal when it is nothing of the sort. By mounting giant displays of grief, by mounting our public feelings in the streets and the cemeteries and in our homes, we are reminding everyone around us that we are grieving the people that we lost, that we are counting their absences, that we are remembering their lives, and that we are remembering what brought them there. That way, Day of the Dead is also a moment of protest. So, with the coming Day of the Dead, when we're thinking about our deceased, when we're thinking about how they died, when we're thinking about other people's deceased, when we're thinking about the situations of violence that we live throughout the world, when we're thinking about the situations of violence that we live here in Canada, Indigenous women are missing and murdered constantly. They are three times as likely to go missing and murdered than any other person in the country. So to think about them is important, and to think about how they go missing and how they die is an act of protest, is an act of resistance. Because in naming them, in naming their stories, we are letting everyone know that we are aware that this is a problem, that we are aware that this is an unjust situation, and that these problems shall not be unnoticed, that the brutality and the atrociousness of structures of power will not be forgotten and will not be condoned. And also, I encourage you to think of these conversations, to think of these reflections as opportunities to connect and heal as a community. I have been discussing with other people recently about how death is regarded so differently across cultures. As a Mexican person, death is very easy for me to talk about because it is so close to my reality in my country. I hear stories of death all the time. And so for me, it's easy to connect that way. But I find that people here in Canada perhaps don't have that closeness, don't have that connection or that intimacy with death. And so this is a good opportunity to allow ourselves to talk about it, to allow ourselves to feel about it. I find that sometimes we refuse to talk about it because we don't want to grieve it, because we don't want to accept it, we don't want to see it. We are still choosing to live in denial because it might be easier At a certain point, it might be preferable. But it is a part of life. Death is a part of life. And it is hard. It is difficult to talk about. But it is worth talking about. It can be emotionally significant on a personal level. It can be emotionally significant on a community level. And of course, on a larger social context, and as I have explained. So think about it. Talk about it. Don't be afraid to ask people, hey, have you lost someone recently? How are you feeling about it? Do you need anything? What did this person enjoy? What do you miss about them? Do you think they would be enjoying life right now, what you're doing? Do you think they would be happy with the way you're living? Do you think they would want to help you out with anything? Think about these. Think about our relationships with them. What did their death teach you? Is their absence something that has been significant in your life? Think about all these things. Death is ever present. We all have lost someone. We all know someone who has lost someone. And this matters. So, this is what the death is about. And it's about mounting it in a beautiful, well-lit, with nice flowers, with nice offerings, with nice gifts. It's an opportunity to share. To share as a community and to connect. So, I wish you a very healing Day of the Dead. I wish you a healthy Halloween weekend. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to Social Justice Radio today. Please visit our website at socialjusticeradio.onelouder.ca to listen to this or older episodes. And thanks to all who contributed to our show today. Tune in again next week on Thursday at 5 p.m.